What was I not doing? I was not eating healthy. I was not exercising. I was not getting enough sleep. And so Christmas rolled around. And have you ever had this experience, Natasha, or those of you out there in virtual landia, where you go on vacation and your body says, oh, you can rest now. I'm going to make you sick.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's happened countless times. Countless times that's happened where I'm just like, oh, I have a break. And then my body, yeah, your body just basically goes, oh, good, we have time to get sick now. We've been
Yeah.
trying to not get sick this whole time, and now we're just gonna give in.
Right. And I read this one meme that said something like, either pick a day to break or your body will pick one for you. And it's painful thinking about these times, but we're going to talk about burnout and the times that we've experienced burnout and how you can combat it on our next episode of the Harness the Power of Planning podcast, coming up next.
Hi, everyone on Instagram. And if you're already watching us on YouTube and Facebook, hello, hello. Allegra will be joining me in just a moment here on Instagram. My name is Natasha. And together we are Beyond Your Wildest Dreams, BYWD, as we like to call ourselves. And what we are all about, our mission in life, is to help learn to prioritize yourself, save time, and achieve your goals. We're just sharing you with a bit about what goes on with us, and maybe it's going on with you too. And we hope to share our challenges, struggles, and the ways that we have overcome, and the ways that we are journeying to overcome some of these things too. And today we have our topic is really about that, is really about the things that we have struggled with, been on the struggle bus with, and found a way to overcome.
Yes, so today Natasha and I are going to talk about burnout and what it is and how we've ex how it's showed up in our lives. For me, more than once, two and a half times, I like to say, actually, is how many times I have met burnout head on. And you might be wondering, what is burnout? Well, just to back up a little bit, Natasha and I found this amazing study that we were really interested in because it focused on parents, which is we are parents and it's who we want to help. And it was talking about parental burnout. And the study was done in 2022. So it was focused on the parental burnout sort of that was nurtured, shall we say, by the pandemic. However, I think we can all agree that the markers were there way before the pandemic, and the pandemic just became this kind of pressure cooker that just made things explode. But many of us were already feeling the things that this study talks about. And I haven't read the original study. We've just read the 60-page report. And we consolidated it down to one page because we thought, gosh, everyone should know this. But who's going to read the 60-page report? So you might be wondering, like, what is burnout? Where burnout technically is not a medical diagnosis. And just in case you're wondering, we aren't doctors and we don't play them on TV.
Right. And we don't pretend that the anecdotal advice that we're giving, or the stories
Our
we're telling,
experiences, yeah.
is a form of treatment. So please, we're going to say that now. We're not
Medical
giving you
disclaimer,
medical
medical
advice or
disclaimer.
mental health advice. So disclaimer.
Yeah. And so what this report did was they actually put together this great quiz where you can, so because it's not a medical diagnosis, it is something that you can just do this quiz and decide for yourself, like, yes, I am on the burnout scale somewhere. And it's a scale from feeling a little bit to, yes, oh my gosh. And basically burnout is defined as being exposed to repeated stress that leads you to feel overwhelmed or tired or low energy. So those that's the definition of burnout. And I have experienced, as I mentioned, I've experienced burnout two and a half times. The first time I was in college and I'd carried 18 units the whole time I was in college, and For those of you who don't know, 18 units is like the maximum you can carry without having to pay any extra. Most students only carry 16 units. 16 units is a full load. 18 units means that you're like me, which is, well, I'm already spending the money on it, so I might as well use it. So I was also just doing a ton of student activities. I had 3 jobs and I had a really good grade point average, but I was also spending just as much time doing volunteer work and other activities as I was in class. And I never missed class. So it was basically just packed schedule. What was I not doing? I was not eating healthy. I was not exercising. I was not getting enough sleep. And so Christmas rolled around. And have you ever had this experience, Natasha, or those of you out there in virtual Landia, where you go on vacation and your body says, oh, you can rest now. I'm going to make you sick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's happened countless times. Countless times that's happened where I'm just like, oh, I have a break. And then my body, yeah, your body just basically goes, oh, good. We have time to get sick now. We've been trying to not get sick this whole time. And now we're just going to give in.
Right. And I read this one meme that said something like, either pick a day to break or your body will pick one for you. And it's just kind of enforced rest, if you will. It's like, oh, I know 100%. How to make you rest. Knock Absolutely. You on your butt. So I've only been this sick one other time. The one other time was when I was living in a foreign country and I got their flu and knocked me on my butt. This was the only other time I've been this sick. And I was so ill, I asked my mom to take me to the hospital because I was like, I'm dying. Like I feel like my body is dying right now. And I was so sick that I was actually supposed to. So I don't know if you've been around with Natasha and I on Thursdays around the new year, then you probably know that I love the Rose Parade. And for those of you who don't know what the Rose Parade is, it's this parade that happens usually it's the 1st of January here in Southern California. And I just love watching it every year. It's a fun thing for me to do. And I was supposed to be in the Rose Parade that year. So this is how sick I was I didn't get to go march in the Rose Parade, which like still, oh, still
you
got, guys,
you have to understand, if you understood how much she loves the Rose Parade, you would understand how devastating this is and how sick she must have been. Okay. Yes. Cause she was super sick.
Like imagine you love the Super Bowl or you love the Oscars and you had the opportunity to be there live and not just be there live, but be a part of it. And you were so sick
that you couldn't go. Like that is how sick Allegra was. When she told me the story, I was like, oh my God, you must've been really sick. Cause I know how much she loves the Rose Parade. Like guys, it's like, yeah, a lot.
That's how sick I was. And turns out I was not dying. The doctor was just like, no, you're just really burnt out. I mean, first of all, he was like, you're 21. Like you're going to bounce back from this. And I'm like, I really don't feel like I'm going to bounce back from this. I feel so sick. And he said, you need to take care of yourself. When was the last time you had a piece of fruit? And I was like, do strawberry Starburst count?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I survived on frozen French bread pizza and sugary breakfast cereals. I'm not joking. Literally stockpiled in my, I know. And for those of you who know how I eat now, stockpiled French bread pizza in my freezer, stockpiled sugary breakfast cereal in the cupboards. That was all I ate. And because I didn't know anything about nutrition. I was like, calories in, calories out. That's what they say. So it doesn't matter what calories they are. I knew nothing about nutrition. So he was like, you need to eat some fresh food and you need to exercise. And I had a friend who ate fresh food and exercised regularly. And I asked her to kind of like give me some advice. And she was like, you don't know that you're supposed to eat fruits and vegetables? And I was like, you mean, I don't want to name the cereal, but like, oh my God, I love this cereal so much. And it would crack people up because like, yeah, I don't think my child ever had this cereal.
You don't want her to know.
Yeah. I don't want her to know how good it is. Okay.
How good it is. Yeah.
So anyway, but what that burnout experience taught me, and this is the key, is to learn something when you get hit over the head by the cosmic 2x4 of life, is to learn something. Because I don't know about you, but I've seen people who they seem to keep getting hit by the same cosmic 2x4 over and over and over again. And I'm like, learn the lesson. It's painful watching you go through that. You know, by the time you get to 50, let me tell you, if you're in your 20s, you don't know this because you might have only been hit on the head once. So you haven't gotten this over and over. But like I see people, it's like they have the same boss at a different job every single time, or they have that same person in their life who just keeps doing the same thing to them over and over again. It happens. And that's the only
I want to say too, like you're almost kind of lucky that it was that severe. I mean, and I know that you have a few other experiences, right? So the one thing I want to say is when you go ahead and take this quiz, right? It's going to give you a ranking. It's not just like, it's not binary. It's not like, you know, you're burnt, not burnt out. Yes, you are burnt out. It's, you know, like if you've ever taken a test or a quiz in Cosmo, right? There's like, right. Oh, how are you? Or whatever, you know, and it gives you like a scale. It's like that, right? So it has a scale. And the thing that I want to say is that Allegra's actually kind of lucky that it was that severe, because it was one of those, it was a smack to the face that was like, full stop, you can't do anything else right now. You have to take care of yourself.
Yes.
And I feel like sometimes what's harder to determine, and that's why this quiz is great, is to see you might be at a low level or a mid-level burnout. And so you're able to function to some degree, but it's still not healthy. Like you're able to get to the end of the week. You're able to, you know, and you're able to maintain that for some time, but there is a breaking point at some point. And not only that, like, just because you're able to maintain it, are you maintaining it so that you are feeling good, that you are at your best physical and mental state? You know, just because you can hang on by a thread and you're hanging on that thread.
Yeah, just because you're surviving.
Right. So, you know, low level burnout or mid level burnout, I feel like is sometimes even like more detrimental in the long term, because you just, because you're making it, you're doing it,
yeah.
You know, like, everybody's surviving. Alive. Everyone's surviving. You know what I mean? But, you know, in the end, are you thriving?
Thriving.
Or, yeah.
Yes.
Or even just doing a little bit better. You know what I mean? Because sometimes thriving sounds like too much of a goal, but better than surviving. Like, right. You know, that's what we're aiming for, better than just surviving. And so we really encourage you to take this quiz, because it'll help you really assess where you're at. And like Allegra said, it's not medical. So it's really just about you taking a look at it and
how you feel.
Getting truthful with where you're at so that you can then make some maybe changes. But we'll get into that part in a second. But I just want to say, if you have a big 2x4 whack to the face, it sucks in
sometimes
the moment.
It's helpful.
Sometimes it really is like a better wake up call than that low level maintenance thing that can happen.
No, and I'm glad it happened early, because for those of you who have known me ever since then, I take health and nutrition very seriously. And, you know, I credit that with a lot of things, you know, as I've aged, that, okay, so the first half of my life, not so good, but the second half of my life I've eaten very well and I've taken care of my health. So then when I was in my 30s, I was working a job, and again, probably all had this experience. I was working a corporate job, and the two people above me had both vacated their positions. And so I was being expected to, I have no idea where that came from.
Did you see that?
Yeah. Did someone send me balloons? Is that what happened? Because
wait a second. Did that happen on Zoom and on Instagram, or just on Instagram?
I only saw it on Instagram.
Yeah, me too. Okay. You must have done something or something.
I haven't touched anything. Hands are here.
That's so funny.
So I was filling in for the two people above me too. By the way, did anyone say, hey, you've been filling in for your boss and your boss's boss, we should kick you back some of the money that we would have been paying them? No.
Of course not.
No.
And even if they did kick it back to you, it would have been 74 cents on the dollar. So.
Well, both those people were women, but.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
I was essentially doing three jobs and they were both above me. These were not people under me. They were above me.
Yeah.
So this went on for about 3 months. And by the way, I couldn't take their position because their position was in what I was being told was in another state. Right. I could do the work, but I couldn't have the position and I couldn't have the money.
Okay. I'm trying to figure that one out, but go on.
So you can imagine I probably wasn't feeling super great mentally, not to mention being exhausted from taking on those position. And even though I exercised regularly and I ate well, I was at a desk constantly, constantly. So I, you know, we now know, we didn't know back then how bad sitting was. Now we know that sitting for long periods of time, which is absolutely what I did, long periods of time is not so great. So I started having this back pain that just became more and more debilitating to the point where I woke up one day and I was frozen in a bent over position. I literally had to eat my food leaning my elbows on the counter. I couldn't sit in a chair. I had to lean in the kitchen counter and eat like that. And I couldn't drive a car. And so for about 3 months, I did physical therapy, traction. I had an MRI, I had all this stuff done. And after 3 months, the doctor said, I think this is the best it's going to be. And it was not really improved at all, like maybe 5% improvement.
So you were still kind of bent over.
I was still bent over.
You couldn't drive at that time?
I couldn't drive at all. And so the one good thing about my work was they would let me work from home. And so I literally would be in bed with my laptop on my stomach, basically doing my work. And I, when the doctor said it wasn't going to get any better, he didn't stop there. He also said, you'll probably never, because he knew I was an athlete. I had said, well, will I be able to ski again? Will I be able to play soccer? No. And by the way, if you ever decide to get pregnant, it's going to be a really horrible, painful experience for you.
Oh my goodness.
And he was such a jerk that it kind of exactly what I needed to hear, because it just like flamed that competitive fire within me. And I was like,
Something else you all need to know about Allegra. She has rebel tendencies. So right, if you tell her she's never going to do X, Y, or Z again, watch out.
Yeah. I was like,
go on.
Double
sorry,
birds,
didn't mean to interrupt, but...
double birds. And, and I was like, you do not know what I am willing to do to get. And plus I was only 33 at the point. I was like, no, this is not going to be the rest of my life. I am not okay with that. Mm-hmm. And so even though they had given me an hour of physical therapy a day, I was like, no, this is my job. This is my job now. And I was still doing my work, you know, as much as I could. But it started with, I decided that I was just going to try walking because I needed to be able to walk upright. And so I have a lap in my neighborhood that takes me 26 minutes to do. It took me 3 hours to do it back then. And my husband, he would do it with me because he was afraid I was going to like fall over or fall to the side. And he thought I was faking it. He's like, you really can't straighten up? Because I really was walking like there was a wind behind me. I was practically, my face was practically parallel to the floor. However, every step, my body and my muscles got a little bit warmer and a little bit warmer, so that by the end of the 3 hours, I was almost upright. But then I would go to bed and I would wake up almost exactly the same. Now I know it wasn't exactly the same, but when I look at my journal from back then, I was seriously depressed. I was like, I don't even know why I'm doing this. I don't feel any better today, even though I spent 6 hours, you know, because I would spend 3 hours doing that walk. And then I would basically do like an hour of stretching and I would break it up throughout the day. And, but I was getting minusculely better every day. I just couldn't see it because it was such a small difference. Because within a year, I was able to go skiing. And I got pregnant 2 years later and it was no big deal at all.
That's my girl.
But it was 6 to 8 hours a day for months. It was basically, I was doing enough work to get paid. And then everything else was this, that was how my day was. But what that taught me was to not ignore the mental stress, the mental load, to not take on other people's. So that same job, I ended up leaving it. I don't remember how much later, 18 months or 2 years later. And they had said, like, you're so valuable. We want you to be a consultant. And I said, okay, great. Like, have a deal for me. Here's my last day. I gave them plenty of notice. Oh, I want to say over 3 months notice so that they could prepare for this. The day of my separation, we still don't have a deal for you, but here's some work we need for you to do. And I was like, nope, I'm out. Done. Bye. Like, I learned that lesson. Thank you, Cosmic 2x4. I learned that lesson. I'm not letting them make their monkey my monkey.
No, no, it's not worth it. It's not worth your obviously physical health. My goodness.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. So that helped me to learn more about my physical body in terms of how I manifest stress, but also like boundaries. That really taught me boundaries in a powerful way and not to let other people who do not value you dictate.
Yeah. Make call the shots for sure.
Call the shots on your time.
And maybe I'm speaking just for like our generation and generations before, where like there's this kind of built in, like, oh, I'm needed or I'm wanted or they need this for me. And they're like, oh, you're the only one who can do it. Or, but please step up and do it. I am kind of encouraged that like current generations are kind of like, pay me. Happy to do it. Yeah, you're right. Going to do extra work. Good. That's going to cost extra money. I'm not working a minute past five. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And so, like, and it's not like a work ethic problem necessarily, as much as it is like, I'm not going to sacrifice myself on the altar of your profits, right?
Yes.
So, you know, and I like that tide is turning. My personal burnout story has definitely have to do with being a parent. I definitely had brushes with burnout before. I'm definitely the kind of person where we just mentioned a moment ago that Allegra has a rebel tendency. And what I'm referring to is Gretchen Rubin's Four Tendencies. It's a great book. Check it out. You can also just take her test online as well. Four Tendencies, Gretchen Rubin. My tendency is to be an obliger. So throughout my whole life, I'm doing exactly what Allegra is talking about. Like, oh, we need you. Can you please help? And I'm like, I'm there. You know, like a little bit of this kind of, you know, obliger tendency for sure, but like maybe like a little bit of like a savior complex where I'm just like, I'm gonna come save the day, right? So I 100% had always had that kind of thing operating to some degree. And I think it kind of goes into overdrive when you're a mom, when you become a mother. And I had a really,
I mean, can I just add one thing?
Pregnancy cause... with my first kid, the birth wasn't so great, but the first 2.5 years with my son in that time, I was working from home, and things were going along pretty well as far as like the burnout aspect. Like I didn't, you know, yes, that first year especially is overwhelming, but I didn't feel burnt out the way that I felt after my second son arrived. This was like a whole nother level of stress. And quite honestly too, I think that some low level postpartum depression was probably operating as well. But when my second son came along, it was just so much for me to be a work from home mom, plus, you know, fulfill the needs of a 2.5 year old and a newborn, right? They're so different. Everybody knows this, right? Everybody who's had more than one kid knows that, you know, they're all in such completely different stages and have some completely different needs. And you also know that you're a wildly different parent to the second and third and fourth kid than you were to the first, right? But what started to happen for me, especially when I started taking clients on again after my second son was born, I was so burnt out. Like it was the kind of thing where like I would, if I even made it back to my bed at the end of the night after putting them both to bed and I didn't fall asleep on their floor and didn't fall asleep in a pile of laundry, or, you know, like I was just so underrested and just overworked. And eventually I was, and I'm also operating some low level depression as well. Mm-hmm. Right. And so my level of like busyness that I had done before I was a parent, I kind of maintained that busyness. It just focused then on my first son. When my second son came along, like still trying to keep up with going to park dates and play dates and preschool and all this other stuff for my first son, while also, you know, nursing an infant and so forth. was just so much. And then eventually, I really needed to reach out and ask for help, aside from just like the burnout story of like just saying to other moms, you know, other people could relate to this, of course. And my husband was going off to work every day, you know, and he really could see that I was working very hard and that it was a lot on me. And eventually we were able to find a way to the end of the moral to my story is accept the help that's offered to you. You do not need to, like Allegra was just saying, martyr yourself for the profits of others. You also don't need to martyr yourself on the altar of your family as well, mm-hmm. which is what on some level I was doing. I was like, I need to do it all. I need to keep a clean house. I need to make sure dinner's on the table. I have to make sure that I, you know, meet with all my clients. I have to make sure that, you know, the boys have fulfilling, you know, days and that they're learning and they're having a good time and like, you know, activities every day. And my husband eventually was just like, hey, how about we find a way to budget a sitter to come for just 2 hours a week. We were strapped for cash too. Like 2 hours a week where you could just do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. You can leave the house. You can not leave the house. You can go take a nap. You can like just at that time too, a luxury would just be go to the grocery store by myself. You know what
right.
I mean?
Not felt have like have a vacation
to like go get groceries, you know?
Yeah.
Which is like so lame that like you have a sitter come and you're like, oh, I'm going to take some time myself and go to the grocery store. But sometimes just walking through Target by myself was like a mini vacation, right? So yeah. Maybe you can relate to that. So that just that ask for help mm-hmm. and take the help that's offered to you. You're not losing. You're not a loser. You're not failing anyone if you ask for help. And that was so, so hard for me because as someone, I was an obliger. I'm like, oh, I don't ask for help. I help others. That's what I do. I show up and I help.
Right. I am the helper.
Who asks for it. I'm the person who gives that help. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so having to like shift my mindset and recognize I really did need that help. That 2 hours, I could have used a lot more, but I take that 2 hours. It was like super precious because we were strapped for cash at that time. And it was really a hard, it was even just hard to find somebody who would come regularly for 2 hours. It's not like a lot
right.
of time, you know?
Yeah.
So we were lucky that we were able to find someone who was able to do that for us. But I just want to say like, take the help that's offered and ask for help as needed. There's no shame in that game.
Also, there's something that Natasha and I talk about all the time that I just want to point out that it's that 0 to 5 range when your child is 0 to 5 or when your youngest child is 0 to 5, because the clock really just starts all the back over when you have another child. That 0 to 5 range, they need us so much to keep them alive that, you know, there's not a lot that you can do there except for asking for help and taking the help that's needed. But still, there's a lot of things, especially, you know, if you're breastfeeding or any doing attachment parenting of any kind, a lot of times that's falling on the mom. And I did that. So, and I loved that time. However,
yes.
When my child hit 5, I noticed that, oh, she doesn't need me as much to keep her alive. She needs me for a lot of other stuff, but she doesn't need me to be watching her every moment, you know, to dress her, to do this, to do that. And I realized that it was an opportunity for me to make the mental shift out of the, you are the priority in my day, to we could be equal priorities, because mm-hmm. I was not an equal priority those first 5 years.
She
was the priority.
For sure.
Rightfully so. But I think that a lot of parents, they don't make that mental shift when there starts to be a little more time for themselves. They don't make that mental shift. And so they just go on prioritizing their child. Mm-hmm. And we just want to make you aware of the fact that there is a point where there's a choice that you can make. And you might need a little mental space to back up and say, oh, maybe my child doesn't need all of my attention anymore. Because it wasn't something that anyone ever told us. It was one of those things where we were just like, around 5.
Yeah, and there's a lot of societal pressure or agreement around, you know, your kids are everything. And we're definitely not trying to, we're not saying like, you know, put your kids on the back burner and
no,
party time
and no one
you.
Would
you
say
know,
that about
that's
us
not what
as
we're
moms.
Saying at all. But we are saying that like, whereas your kid might've been your first priority for those first 5, it's really okay to put yourself as a first priority. And because it helps you be a better person, a better human, a better parent to your child and to yourself. And that it's not selfish to prioritize yourself. It really isn't.
And that's really what this burnout study and all the literature that's been coming out in the last year about, that no one says it this way, but Natasha and I say self-care is healthcare. The articles all explain that self-care is a form of healthcare, but they don't say the word healthcare, but they say self-care is everything you need to be mentally, physically, and spiritually taken care of. Mm-hmm. Well, that's healthcare.
That's holistic healthcare.
Holistic healthcare. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what we are suggesting to you is prioritizing yourself is just about taking care of your basic health needs. It isn't about like, I'm more important than everyone, so I always get to choose the movie at family movie night. No, that's not prioritizing yourself. Okay.
No.
Prioritizing yourself is taking your supplements, making sure you're hydrated, making sure your body is taken care of, making sure your brain and your spirit are taken care of. And that is absolutely necessary.
Right. And it's not, and it's not a luxury, right? A lot of times you say self-care and people think, oh, that's massages and mani pedis. Sure. Yes, absolutely. Go ahead and do that. You know, but it really is, it's not a luxury, the self-care. Like Allegra said, it's like your basic everyday showing up for yourself because you are important to take care of just simply because you exist. And then maybe also because you have other family members that rely on you, you know, but you are worth it. You are worth it.
You are worth it, but oh my gosh, you show up better in all of the other ways. So it's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win-win-win-win-win.
So if you want to hear this again, you can listen to our podcast, anywhere podcasts stream, listen to the Harness the Power of Planning podcast. This episode will be up shortly. And you can see us live on socials, wherever you want, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. I think I said all the things. And to get our one sheet, our one pager burnout cheat sheet, just go to our website, bywdreams.com. Thanks for joining us for the Harness the Power of Planning podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe wherever you listen.